sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. Seldom have we had such guests for Song of the Soul matching such incredible singing with such penetrating and offbeat lyrics, full of alternate visions of divine workings and mayhem, as what we have here today with Heather Aubrey Lloyd. Heather was on the way to a profession as a reporter when a curve in the road of life placed her instead in front of a microphone sharing music for a living. In addition to her two solo albums, she has worked and performed with Baltimore's acclaimed Iliamie for 23 years and on 12 albums. And she's been the Girl Finkel in a Simon & Garfunkel tribute band. And she's been ramping up and performing with a Renaissance lute rock rebel group, Earhart. We had lots of production help today from Andrew Jansen. Since you're listening to the 55-minute broadcast version, be aware that there are immense riches, 37 bonus minutes of them, in the full uncut version available on our podcast version on northernspiritradio.org. Engaging and amazing bits about Heather's Jewish history and grim fairy tales theology and much more, and also a full extra song. We head via Zoom to Owings Mills, right near Baltimore, Maryland, for a visit with Heather Aubrey Lloyd. Heather, I am so happy to have time with you today for Song of the Soul.
Yay, thank you so much for having me.
And I understand that I've got the advantage on you because I don't need to caffeinate to get started in the day.
Everyone's religion is different and my sacrament is important.
Yes, and so coffee is a sacrament for you. I just wanted to establish your theological basis before we got going too far. Where did you grow up, actually?
So I grew up in a town called Randallstown, which is right along the city-county line. Moved out to Owings Mills in my teenage years, and then lived in Catonsville, right on the city-county line. Now I have returned to Owings Mills, somehow, ironically, to live 10 minutes walking distance from my parents.
Let's talk about religion, spirituality right away. God does get mentioned in your songs in various ways that most people would consider offbeat, at least, I guess I'd say, you know, God, maybe I'm damned. Oh, well, you seem to be able to do that kind of talking without feeling self-conscious or preaching either, which is, I put that in a good category.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think a lot of people have, and I think should, a consistently developing understanding of their relationship with God. That is not a thing that, in my opinion, should be static throughout your life. I mean, you don't know yourself at 22. What makes you think you'd know God then? You know, so it's sort of like that is a thing that develops through a lifetime and involves doubt and discovery and concerns.
So are we supposed to be expecting a theological treatise from you that will change the world now that you're past 22, whatever?
I don't know. I am imagining that at a certain point in my life when I am closer to meeting the man, the myth, the legend, the entity, I don't know, I will have another sort of realization concerning my relationship with God. I mean, I do believe in God, and that belief in his relationship to me changes a lot over time. I mean, my parents tell me, and this has a lot to do with actually the album that I just put out and why maybe I'm so frank about some of this stuff. My parents tell me that when I was little, I was a little odd. My mother said I was like in the bathroom at age 5 having a full conversation. And when I came out, she said, "Who are you talking to?" And I very pat was like, "To God." And she said, "Why are you talking to God in the bathroom?" And I said, "That's where you talk to God."
Is this Jewish lore? I didn't know about
this. Is just lore. I don't know. I was a weird kid. And then the other thing they said was that I would sing loud going up the stairs because I believed that it frightened ghosts. And so I was a kid who talked to God in the bathroom and sang at the top of my lungs to protect myself from spirits. So, you know, interesting.
There was a man I knew in Madison, Quaker meeting, Madison Friends meeting, and his son, when they were little, they had a little family worship. You know, and usually Quaker worship is like hour silence out of which people may or may not speak. And this was like a 15-minute thing they do with kids and their parents kind of thing. So the son is sitting in the silence that they're having for the kids, and all of a sudden he says, "God is..." And then he tails off and doesn't say something. And, you know, another 15 seconds later, he says, "God is..." And then he tails off. And then a third time, "God is..." And then he tails off and doesn't say anything more. And the thing ends. And right after, he turns to his dad and he says, "I'm sorry, Dad. I don't know what God is, but I'm working on it." This is a five-year-old.
That's, I mean, and out of the mouths of babes. You know, I mean, if that's not true, I don't know what is. I think one of my biggest frustrations with most religion and most people are people who presume to know the will of God. The ego to that, I cannot wrap my head around. And I think you grow up with certain types of tenets. You hold the ones that either have deep emotional significance or are proven to you in some way. And then inevitably, there's at least one you kind of can't reconcile. I can't reconcile the idea of a wrathful God for, you know, well-meaning people who never know his specific name, you know, or that kind of stuff.
I should tell all of our listeners for Song of the Soul that as we're listening to the music from Heather Aubrey Lloyd, there's nothing in the words that would make you say Jewish.
Mm-mm.
There's music that occasionally touches on God or reference to those big things. But the songs here are not Jewish songs. They're simply songs of her soul. And I think we got to move towards that pretty soon, or people are going to think we're giving them an exposition on. Maybe this is be good text for when you're writing up your autobiography. I don't know. These might be the right words. But let's get started with your first song, Heather. So where do we go first?
We won't dip right into the heaviest of the theology, but I couldn't resist to send you that one. So we'll do Are You Lost? Are You Lost is a really good starting point because I think it has to do with childhood and pandemic and a lot of things.
It's from the album called Panic Room with a View. And the other album, full album I found of yours was A Message in the Mess, which was back in 2017. And this one was released in 2025. And you've got some individual songs and so on. And then you've got all the music that you do with Ilyemi. And I want to talk to you about that soon. But first, Are You Lost? Give our listeners some background to the song so they're ready to launch into the depths of Heather Aubrey Lloyd.
I was married for a whopping 10 months when lockdown hit. And I got locked down with three, you know, teenage or close to it, stepchildren, freshly into my marriage. So that'll test you. And my husband and I had round one of COVID. We were locked down with it and having to care for everybody and figure out what we were going to do. And so for the first couple months, I didn't have great breath control, things of that nature, but I had started to write a little bit. And the first song that I finished was based on a festival FAQ because I thought, okay, well, I'm still preparing for a summer where I may be doing bookings, you know, because you didn't know how long this was going to be. And so I was reading through a festival FAQ questions, and it was things like, where can I park my bike? Can I bring my awesome dog? You know, glass bottles, that kind of thing. And then smack in the middle of it is, are you lost or did you lose someone? And by then, we had already had a handful of close, either family or friends, die. Something about that hit me so differently. And I grew up on fairy tales, and I imagined I was in the process of, like, raising these kids, and I don't have the answers. Every question they're going to ask me, I don't even have personal experience to be able to say it's going to be okay. And what I really wished was I had some kind of proof, you know, me come from the future to collect up what feels like little child me lost in the woods in some kind of fairy tale. Because if I'm standing there, future me, you must make it. Obviously you do. I'm here. But the trick being that you're still going to have to do it. You know, the time paradox of it all is you don't get off the hook just because you know you make it. You still have to do it, or you don't create the story. It has to exist. And so the song Are You Lost is about being a small child lost in the woods, but having older you come back for you, to walk alongside you. You still have to do it. And so I've often said that I'm a very aspirational songwriter. I will write the song before I believe it is true. And at that time, I wrote the song before I believed it was true, because I required the lullaby first. So people figure I wrote it for the kids, but it's 100% for me.
Are you lost?
We'll get out of this, my child, you will see. I've done my share of wandering. Are you out here in the woods all alone? Are you lost or did you lose someone? And I know it's been far too long, and daylight is a fairy tale, a nursery song. The hours slipped away, then the months. Halfway there, now you're back at home. An old little world, I've been this way before. Being so, I know it's hard, I know you lie awake, but it's okay, you get to be afraid. And hey, we'll be this way again.
Got the good fortune of having Heather Aubrey Lloyd join us today for Song of the Soul. First song that she's sharing from her songs of her soul is Are You Lost? And it's from the album released last year called Panic Room with a View. Tell me about this Panic Room with a View. Is that the isolation of COVID times, or is it something else?
It's a mix of the two. I got to give my husband credit where credit's due. The title, though he didn't know he was creating it at the time, is of his devising. So we were locked down, and I have anxiety, fairly significant. I suffer from panic attacks that are so extreme, it feels like somebody's putting javelin through my chest. And I have had that since I was 21. I went to a therapist that saved my life and without medication actually was able to manage that through an extremely high level of mindfulness and, more importantly, self-acceptance. He basically said, this isn't an affliction. This is woven into who you are. You will have it forever, even if you throw medication on top of it. And the more you fight it, the worse the feedback loop. And so he really was the one that said, you're going to have to sit with how bad it is. And the less you fight, the sooner you'll win. And it worked. And so I've done very well. But pandemic lockdown, unfortunately, broke some of the dams on a lot of that stuff. So our back deck abuts a drainage area that's had 30 years to grow over into the equivalent of a nature preserve. And I have the benefit of squirrels and foxes and hummingbirds and groundhogs and deer and everything, you know, my little Snow White land. And in the beginning, when I was like, I cannot scare my stepkids, if I was going to go have some big panic attack, I would go out on the porch and basically rock back and forth, you know, amongst the sounds of the birds. And so my husband started referring to the deck as my panic room with a view.
Ah, okay, there it is.
Metaphorically speaking, it really was, because the cover of the album is a girl inside a terrarium facing a blank nothing. And that was both the emotional and the realistic way that was. Just, you are trapped inside of your feelings, of your body, looking out into nothing. You have no idea. And so I found that it resonated. A lot of people felt that deeply. It's funny. There's a wink to it, because what are you going to do? But that feeling is one a lot of people have felt.
And folks, you want to track things down about Heather, go to her website, which is heatheraubreylloyd.com. I've got the link on nordenspiritradio.org, of course. Let's do another song.
Oh, should we go there? I guess let's talk about the stove. I sent this to you because I figured it was too perfect for this interview.
The theology of this song really stretched my mind. I guess maybe I didn't have enough of Grimm's fairy tales or something to fully open myself up to this way of thinking. Is this at all a theological piece of Heather Aubrey Lloyd?
Absolutely. This one was weird, and I thought, oh, people are going to not connect to this at all, and this is going to really, like, raise an eyebrow. Also, the production of it we chose, and it is the song, bar none, more people talk to me about than any. So I love Grimm's fairy tales. Love. I grew up on this one particular edition of the book that contained a story called The Goose Girl. The Goose Girl, like all good Grimm fairy tales, is quite grim. And a princess on her way to marry in a distant land is accompanied by her waiting maid. And it's not as if anybody, where they're headed, knows what either of them looks like. So en route, the waiting maid at knife point assumes the identity of the princess, makes her switch into the waiting maid's clothes, and says, if you ever tell anyone, I'll kill you, and goes forth to marry the prince and assume her life. And the goose girl accepts this situation and is given a job to just busy her. And she's given the job of walking the geese to and from, you know, the fields and the gate and whatnot. And the horse that has carried her is, of course, because it's a fairy tale, sentient and knows what has happened. And so the maid has the horse killed, but the princess, the real one, has his head nailed to the gate so that she may speak to him every day and tell of her sorrows, you know. So that's how this sets up. But here's where this becomes both, in my mind, the metaphor for religion and therapy, which is she can't tell anyone. But the king suspects something is up. Something is not right. And so he goes to her and says, no, something here isn't right. And no, I can't tell anyone, you know, they'll kill me. And he the way he says it, it is bad to keep troubles inside. If you can't tell it to me, maybe you can tell it to my old iron stove. And it's one of the ones that's big enough that she can physically crawl entirely inside. And she crawls inside and she tells the entire thing and just, you know, weeps it all out finally. And what she doesn't know is that he has his ear to the stovepipe and he hears it all. And of course, it's all put to rights after that. And the stove, people worried that it was like a Sylvia Plath thing, you know, and it's like, no, you're not going in there to end things. There is this place of unburdening. And sometimes that place is God. And sometimes that place is a therapist's office. And I did go to a therapy in a session for a couple of years. And what was cool about it was once it was over, I could still hold the office in my mind. I will often just go there. Like when something is bothering me and I can't get to the heart of it. It was a very gently, warmly lit canary yellow room. And I will go there. He had a little bin of seashells that was right next to you while you talked. And I will go there in my mind and go, why is this bothering you so much? And so therapy and God have a lot in common. The place of unburdening whether you know someone is listening or not, whether they're even personally invested or not, the naming of the thing, the unburdening of the thing is deeply important. But you don't know really what the listener, my therapist might not have liked me. You know, God may not like me. But at the end of the day, there is a place of unburdening to be had that is comforting.
That's a good intro to the theology, the therapy, the insights, the grim fairy tale, all of it wrapped up in one in Heather Aubrey Bloyd's song, The Stove.
If there's a God, I may be damned, but I like talking to God. And he may not like the way I am, I won't know before I'm done. Sometimes I hope there is no God, though it means I cry to just the air. Like the girl who crawled into a stove to tell it all she could not bear. It helps to tell something the pain, whether it is listening to be held inside a quiet place. Ask not what you're offering, and maybe God's an empty stove, a metal belly full of me. And I'm the fire lit inside when I tell him all my suffering. I wrote myself a hymn today to lullaby my aching soul, and crawled inside my little room, hear the echo of it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, sang the fuel to the furnace. I know mercy is uncertain here, but how the world it burns us.
I've never so positively thought of being inside the stove. I usually think of it as a bad thing, but as a confessional, as a place, it might be the thing that fires, that energizes the stove. That's an amazing thought to me. And this song, The Stove, by Heather Aubrey Lloyd, I think it just so wonderfully takes you into the magic of the possibilities. And I thank you for doing that, Heather.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's what we were talking about. We don't really know at the end of the day, you know. We may be the fuel that fires the God machine in a way, and it may not be malevolent. You know what I mean? There are a lot of different possibilities. And so, yeah, I mean, it starts the way it starts. I don't know how God feels about me, but I like talking to God, so I do it.
And well, and your comment in there that, oh no, if God was there, maybe I'm talking to nothing, even if God's going to damn me. I still want God there. Just that's deep thinking. Do you always sit and think very deep thoughts like that? Or
oh, much to the chagrin of everyone in my life.
Really? Nice. I love it. I love it. I want to remind folks you are listening to Song of the Soul. Today we have as our guest Heather Aubrey Lloyd. That is her website. You'll also find her with her long-term 23 years or so of performing as part of Ilyemi The website is ilyamipresskit.com. And because you're not going to remember that or know how to spell it, except if you know, I love you and I miss, wait, let me see. I love you.
You got it. I love you and I miss you.
And I miss you. Yeah. The link is going to be on northernspiritradio.org, along with all the links of my guests from the past 21 years I've been doing this, both Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action. You can listen to all those guests of those years, and you can find me aging by 21 years over the course of doing this and finding a deeper and deeper spiritual home for myself in talking deeply with people. Taking the slow path as opposed to the one that's going to get the sound bite. I'm not interested in sound bites. I am passionately connected with deeper connection. Heather joins us from near Baltimore, Maryland. Owings Mill is, I believe, the...
Correct. Owings Mills with an I.
Owings?
Owings. Like, oh, wings.
Owings Mill. Come to our site, post comments on this. I love hearing from you. I love knowing where people are hearing this, how things affected you, and your suggestions of other guests that we should have on our shows. So please do that on northernspiritradio.org. While you're there, you can check out the 38 or so stations across the United States that carry our programs. And if there's a community radio station in your town which is not carrying our shows, tell them they should, and they can set it up. It doesn't cost them anything. But I love reaching more ears and more hearts, so please connect them up. Please support those local community radio stations. Alternative sources of news and music are so vital in this day and age when billionaires own almost all of our media. So please help the alternative people thrive and survive. And you can also make a donation via our website to support northernspiritradio.org again. A thing or two I wanted to mention about Heather before we go on is Ilyami is one of the groups that you've performed with a long time. Girlfunkel is an important part, and you mentioned what you're doing with At Your Heart.
Yeah, so in the last sort of few years post-pandemic, I have been the years of yes, even things that I thought were above my pay grade, I was like, say yes and figure it out later. So Say Yes and Figure It Out Later included, I call myself the Girlfunkel. That's not actually the name of the program. It's a Simon and Garfunkel tribute where my Simon is an incredible singer-songwriter, Kippen Kai Martin, voice of an angel, who thankfully can play all the Simon guitar parts, needed a girl to be able to sing the Garfunkel parts in multiple keys. And that's how I got brought in to also play with our male Simon and Garfunkel counterparts, which are Nils Lofgren's brothers, Mark and Tom. It's a really cool thing, and it super took off. I had no idea. It was quite a heavy lift. That content is exceptionally difficult. The other thing, even more difficult, was I got tapped to sing for a 16th century lute-based band called Earhart that Ron McFarlane, who is a Grammy-nominated lutenist, which is a word I know now, everything from original music to Shakespeare, John Dowland, a little bit of everything. I'm singing in Welsh and Old Scots in my soprano, so that's been an extremely interesting thing. So yeah, I love my job and I love all music, and so I've been intrigued to test the bounds of what my voice will do.
We'll share some more of the stuff that you are releasing and sharing with the world. But first, tell me why the songs you chose today, all except one of them, are from your 2025 album. There is a 2017 album. You didn't evidently choose anything from that. You chose one other song that's been released. And I'm sure you've done all kinds of music with Ilyami. And I didn't hear you taking from that. Or maybe you do it. Your own songs, you do it with that. Why your old album? Why not Ilyami album? I'm unclear.
So I think at the moment I'm so steeped in the new one because I had to think so much about the origins of all of it. And I think because it was much more, in my opinion, kind of like, you know, spiritually and introspective in that way, it felt like a good fit for the show. And then I wanted to send you one where I was like, I made you wait. We had a really difficult scheduling thing. And so I managed to get the first song mixed and mastered and everything back from what will be the new Ilyami album. So you will have it before anyone else has touched it. And so that, I figured, was a good way to kind of hybridize that. I love my 2017 album. It's great. But I was struggling to sort of pick a song that I thought would be a great conversation piece for this.
We are looking for more music here. So what's coming next?
So I picked one for kind of a fascinating reason, because it involves an expression I learned because I'm also a compulsive researcher, having come out of journalism. So the valley is ours, little different in tone, little peppier, kind of flirts with the notion of the end of the world and where you choose to put yourself when it happens. But there's an expression in it that I did not know until I found it, which was the lap of the gods. I had never heard that before. And it is such a brilliant physical metaphor. The lap of the gods as an expression means when you put yourself sort of at the mercy and usually often harm's way of whatever's going to happen. And if you're writing a song particularly about people who survive in flood zones, the lap of the gods really takes on a very topographical kind of meaning. So The Valley Is Ours is based on a composite of stories from hundreds of years of floods in Ellicott City, Maryland, which is a town not far from me, which at this point most people know because in 2016 and 2018, they were taken out not once but twice by floods that should have been 100-year events. And they were wiped out just following having fully rebuilt. I mean, it was brutal. And I had a friend who had a basement apartment, and I was helping him. They would let you in 10 minutes at a time to grab what you could in whatever random boxes you could. And when you clean from something like that, and I apologize if this triggers a terrible memory for anyone who's ever been through this, it's not just dirt. Lots of horrible things are mixed into it. So there is a series of baths and solutions that you have to put things in to actually sterilize stuff. And I realized in a basement apartment that took 7 feet of water, we were cleaning mud out of his coffee mugs that had been on the shelves. And I had no concept for that kind of amount of water. And yet they've rebuilt. They're now doing sort of flood mitigation things to prevent this from ever happening. I wanted to kind of honor people who live in the lap of the gods and consistently rebuild. I mean, I can think of no sort of greater affirmation and reclaiming of life, of deciding to participate in being alive than such a thing as that.
Again, folks, you're going to have some great, it's not theology, or it is worldview. It's what is vital in your life, what stays with you, what are you? All of this combined in the song, The Valley Is Ours, from Heather Aubrey Lloyd's album, Panic Room with a View.
In my town built over the river, fortunes rise and fall with the shoreline. You can almost sit and watch by the high tides, followed by low. In my town, I float on a river. You learn to hold your breath when you're little. Mind the rain and the weather vane, child, 'cause you never know. My daddy saw the streets washed away. The earth broke open like the end of days. His granddaddy too lost the family estate, but no one said nothing about moving away. Because the sun will explode in an age or so, and all that we made will burn. And the river will flood my beloved hometown every millennium. We live and still we build right here in the lap of the gods. But the valley is ours, the valley is ours. It takes faith in a town on a river to sleep through the storms of summer. But the locals are used to the culture, the ruin repair. First it's tears in a town on a river, but then it's sawdust and sweat in the Tiber. Just wait till the concrete is dry and start over again. My mama saw her brother swept under, home from the funeral to mud in the cupboards and drawers. And the neighborhood morning that all came clean with enough scrubbing. Because the sun will explode in an age or so, and all that we made will burn. And the river will flood my beloved hometown every millennium. And still we live and still we build right here in the lap of the gods.
values us, the values us.
Oh, life is the valley we walk in the shadow of death. And sometimes I fear evil. Please don't tell Jesus. I had a dream. We stuck on the ark. Noah didn't see us. Said we were monkeys, and they just believed us. 'Cause everyone there was way too busy watching the news about Ellicott City, my town built over the river. Fish the clock twice from the Patapsco. Who knows? We could all take our boats and save us some time. Oh, and where else could we go? It would be half as beautiful to wait out the end of it all. Well, I've chosen mine. Because the sun will explode in an age or so, and all that we made will burn. And the river will flow, and I'll be loving all the time and everyone. And still we live, and still we build, right here in the lap of the gods. But the valley is ours, the valley is ours.
As Heather said while introducing that song, The Valley Is Ours, this is actual Ellicott City, which is to say it's a place that's very near and dear, I guess you'd say. She certainly researched the history to connect many people's stories together there, as well as her personal connection with it. For me, by the way, I was born in Darlington, Wisconsin, which is on the Pecatonica River, and they used to have floods there. So when I was growing up, eventually, I saw one of the stories about the Pecatonica flooding. It flooded evidently in 1923, 1937, 1950, and 1993, which is the highest it had flooded, a record 18.2 feet it had gone up. And the thing that caught my eye was in the newspaper article, they talked about the dry goods store, which is right where it was the downtown area of Darlington that got flooded. That's the town I was actually born in. It was the town my grandparents lived in, and so it's heart central for me. So the floods of The Valley Is Ours make complete sense to my heart.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to launch right into another song because I'm afraid we won't have time to get them all in the broadcast version of this song. Our broadcast version is 55 minutes, but we always have a podcast version where we maintain more music and more interviews so we can keep up with all of the things we want to say. So please, if you go to NordenspiritRadio.org, you can hear the uncut version there as well. What's the next song, Heather?
Oh, I got to give you the one that was my gift to you since I made you wait so long, which is you're going to get it before anybody else does. It could have been worse. I literally got the master on this 3 days ago, something like that.
And tell me about it. So it's going to be, it's single. It's not released yet, but people are clamoring for it, right?
People did really connect to it, so yeah.
Well, I hope, folks, you do check out. I have a link for Ilyami's music and website on NordenspiritRadio.org. But right now, we're going to listen to the song, It Could Have Been Worse, and we'll talk more with Heather about it afterwards.
It's never been the right time to take some time off. Pack life for a flight to some beautiful place. Give up. While in my little hideaway, I still somehow got the word. Catastrophe, this was the last to be spring of the world. Won't make it a week, but what's in the fridge? Maybe two, a few questionable things from the freezer. But there's violence in the grass. Alas, it could have been worse.
kind of pleased I never started the seeds for the season. Kind of relieved I didn't spend hours cleaning out leaves. And as I suspected, I missed the coffee more than the people. But no one's told the ravens to stop. I have all the company I want. Won't make it a week with better armed neighbors, maybe two, a few knives and surprising survival skills. But here come the devil dudes. It could have been worse. It could have been working at a computer, taking complaints, stuck with the commuters in traffic when it happens, 'cause I want to burn me. It could have been surrounded by fear and bewildered in some busy city, standing in line. So isn't this fine? What better place to pass what's left of the time? Maybe two, a few matchbooks, and one modest library. But in a war and peace glow, you know, it could have been worse.
Heather Aubrey Lloyd is with us here today for Song of the Soul. That song, It Could Have Been Worse, has not yet been released, folks. So you are in a special part of the universe right now, hearing this song from Heather as part of her Song of the Soul. It could have been worse. The phrase in there that struck me, and I just wondered if it was trademarked by anyone, the last to be spring of the world. I had this sense that either you patented a new word, or this is one that was sitting on many hearts at that time.
Ooh, I needed something that would rhyme with catastrophe. So it's catastrophe. This was the last to be. I had a bit of a rough start to the year. So I had to have gallbladder surgery. And it was a couple of months before we figured out that was what it was. And if you've gone through that, it is a pain that just kind of takes you out of your body. You know, and I was going through shows like this, and I just like, I don't know what to do. So I was so busy. My schedule was so demanding. I couldn't have the surgery when I needed it. And I had a very frank conversation with my doc and with a friend of mine. Like, if I needed to delay this, how can I survive it? How do I get through? And the solution, the only solution, is you can't eat any fat whatsoever. It's the only way to keep yourself pain-free. And so for 4.5 months, I didn't have a piece of cheese, drop oil, you name it. I was as devout and observant as I have ever been in my life. And I lost 18 pounds, but I kept every single one of my gigs. So right before I was going to have surgery, and I had never had to have significant surgery like that, so I had to reckon with the notion that there's every possibility this could go poorly, routine though it may be. And so I got my affairs in order, and I went out to a buddy of mine's place in March to have kind of a last quiet moment to write some letters to some people that I, you know, would want to leave messages to should I need to do so. And I wanted to write one more song to complete my obligations to the Eliamy album. And I was staring in my friend's fridge. He lives in the middle of nothing in upstate New York, which is what I wanted. And I had taken enough food with me because I had to take specific food because I was so restricted. And I'm staring in his fridge and his freezer. And the news at that time was particularly bad. It was really vicious. And I was staring in the fridge and freezer and thought, if everything goes to hell right now, I might be screwed. Like, I might not make it a couple of weeks right here. And in that moment, that song was born. But there was something very comforting, and I think this comes back to sort of religion and all of this other stuff. Whenever I am the most unhappy and concerned about the way the world is going, I still find the most comfort I've ever found in nature. I am calmed by the idea that many of these things would go on, you know, without me, unconcerned about me. And they would still be beautiful. And so, yeah, a lot of people, like I saw it registering in audiences when I was playing it out, that it really spoke to this conflicted moment we're all having right now where it feels ominous, but it felt the most ominous as the season was turning into the most beautiful. And it was this most conflicted feeling. And so that song encapsulates it.
I wish we had more time to visit on so many more things. I'm really finding it very enriching to my soul, to my heart, to be talking with you here today.
Man, and I did that on half a ration of coffee. Imagine what I could do, fully loaded.
I'm kind of frightened to think of the thought. But let's share one more song for today's Song of the Soul.
Oh, in the only thematically possible way, with a song called If We Come Too Late.
First question I had when I was listening to this song, are you worrying about age or about the world coming around you, about being old, whatever? I'm 72 and you're a sweet young thing.
Oh, that's adorable. I'm about to be 46 next month.
Sweet young thing, like I said. Does that weigh in on this song?
Massively. I mean, talk about aspirational. I wrote this baby when I did not believe it. It started because I had been applying for certain types of contests, and you know, it's a disheartening thing. You apply, you get rejected much more than you get accepted. And there's a shelf life on that. There's a time, you know, like I use my moisturizer and my sunscreen, and I'll have a few more years of, like, you know, good on camera, as it were. I'm getting less vain. There's something beautiful about crossing into your 40s, and it's true, you give way less of the things you keep it clean for the religious radio. You give way less of all the things they say you give way less about. But the world still treats you a certain way. I always say, like, when men get older, it's awesome because you get to age either into Santa Claus or Gandalf. Like, you haven't, right, like, these are your options. I've watched little kids marvel at an old dude, even if they're bald, you know, with a giant white beard, because that's Santa. There is no female equivalent to age into for a child to marvel at. You know, there is no goal in that same way. And women are well aware of it. So, yeah, I'm hyper aware of it. And I gave the last of my 30s to pandemic, which was a really brutal hit to take because there was this notion of, I am losing the last of those young years, man. So when I started writing that song, it was actually written as the fact that I was not sure that I was going to be able to, I had been, you know, rejected from this contest, and it was one I really wanted. I was getting married very, very late and had been kind of chastised in a certain way by the rabbi who brought us in to have a conversation with us, you know, ahead of time, like, you got a level with the soon-to-be couple. And he turns to my husband-to-be, says, oh, married before kids. And he said, yeah, yeah, married three kids. And turns to me and he says, I'm married before kids. And I was like, no. And he said, well, which one? I said, neither. And he's like, so this is your first? And I'm like, uh-huh. And he's like, really? I mean, that's good. I mean, it's not good. Like, the man, like, fell over himself over, like, a 38, 39-year-old woman who had never been married and didn't have kids. Like, this was impossible for him to understand. So this is what I was up against around the time I'm writing this song. I'm not winning this award. I have people reminding me that I'm getting married too late, you know, all this stuff. So I started to write it. And here's the crazy part. I finish the song and submit it to the same contest and wound up a finalist and won. And I won $10,000.
$10,000?
But the moral of the story is, yes, of course I worry about that stuff. You can't not. Self-acceptance is a long game.
All of that just to lead you into the song, If We Come Too Late. which has a happy ending, which is specifically, you won that contest. And I have a feeling it's the line where you sing, I'm going to sing, and you do theatrics. I mean, could you make a muscle right now for me to just show?
I'm a drummer, so I got guns.
Yeah. Well, it was impressive when I heard that and traveled with it. And I said, that woman has breath. She has power, intensity, focus. She's got it all. What couldn't we love even better? And so it's no surprise to me that you won. Just absolutely makes sense. We're going to end with this song, If We Come Too Late. Thank you so much, Heather, for being here. Again, her website, heatheraubreylloyd.com, is linked on nordenspiritradio.org. Also, we'll have a link to Iliamie's website, iliamiepresskit.com, which is a very strange domain name.
We were under construction. It was a whole thing. I wanted to make sure I gave you something that was working. We were changing,
but
companies.
We'll link it on northernspiritradio.org so you'll be able to track her down. Thanks again so much, Heather.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
The links are there on northernspiritradio.org. Here's If We Came Too Late. We'll see you next week for Song of the Soul.
Do the ribbons in my hair look far too girlish for the gray? Do we put our hearts away? Who says it's time? I'd rather not look foolish. Maybe I'm too old to do this. But we don't get to choose our prime. And yours might not be mine. If we come too late to all we love, by the only road there was, do we not get to dance for as long as we can? If not for as long as we want, if not for as long as we want. Oh,
The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org, guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.